A night of high drama in the UEFA Champions League saw just two sides book their place in the knockout stages. But Group E will go the distance after the big match at Anfield.
A perfectly placed header from Dejan Lovren, and Liverpool are level. They make their set piece pay, and it's the Croatian centre-back that scored it. And the equation changes again at Anfield. It's Liverpool 1, Napoli 1.
Leipzig are through, and so are Barcelona.
Messi surging through the middle and has released Antoine Griezmann. It's three, and that will do it for Barcelona, who are going to win the game and win the group.
Meanwhile, a win for Inter keeps their qualification chances alive, and it's still all to play for in Group H, following Chelsea's 2-2 draw at the Mestalla.
Valencia trailing 2-1, Vaz whips it, the cross, oh, it's gone in! The cross has gone in from Vaz! It flew into the top corner! He hit it first time, and all Kepa could do was watch, and it flew into the net off the inside of the post!
We'll bring you full analysis and key reaction to the night's football, and we'll hear from Mateo Kovacic, Frank Lampard, Virgil van Dijk and Carlo Ancelotti on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and alongside me is European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, I've been told for you to pick out one big story from the night, but there are so many.
How long have I got to start?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to have to go with the fact that we've got some phenomenal final day showdowns, Rob. You know, the other half of the draw in the Champions League is all but over. Six of the eight qualification berths are done and dusted. The four group winners are done. This half of the draw, who knows who is going to go through. The reigning European champions, Liverpool, could still go out. There's winner-takes-all matches all over the shop in Europe in 2 weeks' time. This is going to go right down to the wire. It's going to be just like last season.
Well, don't forget to download our previous podcast for all of the analysis and reaction to Tuesday's matches, but these are Wednesday's results on match day five. In Group E, Liverpool 1, Napoli 1, Genk 1, Salzburg 4. Group F, Barcelona 3, Dortmund 1, Slavia Praha 1, Inter 3. Group G, Zenit 2, Lyon 0, Leipzig 2, Benfica 2, and in Group H, Valencia 2, Chelsea 2, Lille 0, Ajax 2. So Barcelona and Leipzig are into the round of 16. But let's start our review of Wednesday in Group E at Anfield, where Liverpool and Napoli were hoping to confirm their round of 16 places. Commentary from Phil Blacker.
Ball played forward here for Napoli, for Dries Mertens. Oh, he's caught it sweetly, and he scored for Napoli. They're ahead at Anfield in the 21st minute of the match. Came from almost out of nothing with Liverpool pressing. The ball played long, Mertens in behind, and he made no mistake. The second top scorer in the history of the club is closing in on Marek Hamšík's record. He's within four now. He made this one count. Van Dijk down injured for Liverpool. And he's taken full advantage as Dries Mertens. This is Milner from the right-hand side, asking the questions with the corner. Oh, perfectly placed header from Dejan Lovren, and Liverpool are level. They make their set-piece pay, and it's the Croatian centre-back that scored it. Some way from goal when he met it, but steers it beyond Alex Meret and in. And Liverpool have found a way. And the equation changes again at Anfield. It's Liverpool 1, Napoli 1.
Now, Phil Blacker joins Chris and myself. First of all, Phil, frantic pace to the game. And I think Napoli will be the happier side of the two.
I think they will. I think a draw probably on the balance, a fair result. Liverpool certainly asked enough questions to deserve some reward. They finished the first half in a frantic fashion, unable to get the equalising goal, but they kind of maintained that intensity. Jurgen Klopp did tweak things as the second half went on. And I think they would have counted themselves very unfortunate had they ended up empty-handed. But it did look at one stage as if that might
might be the case. So impressive were Napoli defensively, and they showcased their threat on the counter-attack with the clinical nature in which Dries Mertens took the goal. They had chances for them were few and far between, but it was all part, I think, of the Carlo Ancelotti game plan. Liverpool found it very difficult to negotiate. So it's a point of peace that sees neither side progress on the night, but both will still back themselves to go through, of course, in a couple of weeks' time. I think, yeah, Liverpool did deserve that equalising goal on the balance of play, but equally, had they gone on and won it, which looked likely at that stage when they had all the momentum, Napoli would have felt shortchanged had their incredible efforts gone unrewarded as well. So I think a point of peace about fair.
And this was a team, Napoli, who were coming into it with all sorts of problems off the pitch, without a win in best part of a month, and they played absolutely for their coach, Carlo Ancelotti, who's been under pressure. And some of their big players had very big games. Manolas and Koulibaly at the back. Yes, they conceded from a corner, but they headed and kicked and blocked all evening long. Alan was terrific in midfield. And Lozano and Mertens were always problematic for Liverpool up front. And we've seen so many great teams blown away by Liverpool in this stadium in recent years. Barcelona last season, Roma here. This was a big night, big European night, and Napoli stood firm. Yes, they could have qualified, but I think they'll take a 1-1 draw and a home game against Genk on match day 6 all day long.
Let's hear from Virgil van Dijk, still optimistic of Liverpool's chances of progressing.
I think it's good to face difficult challenges. I think it's something we want to do, and we know it's going to be tough, but we're looking forward to it. So we have to be ready for a tough night, and yeah, we will be.
Thoughts of Virgil van Dijk, their set piece deciding if Liverpool was the case of the weekend as well in their win over Crystal Palace. So now we're in the situation whereby they go to Salzburg match day 6. Now, Phil, I'm not going to ask you to do the exact maths, but in quite a simple sense, Liverpool avoid defeat and everything's fine.
Absolutely. Right? The only way that they would be eliminated is were they to lose, and then it comes down to the margin by which they lose, because they are currently 3 points clear of Salzburg, and they beat them on match day 2 in that remarkable 4-3 game at Anfield, which whets the appetite anyway to see these two going toe-to-toe again, let alone with qualification at stake. So the bottom line for Liverpool is simple: avoid defeat and they're through. They will want to win the group as well. They will need the victory to ensure that they finish above Napoli, who will be expected to get the point that they need at minimum against Genk, certainly, who are out of the equation altogether. But yeah, if Liverpool do lose, then the maths come into play and it gets very, very interesting.
I think, you know, that comeback from Salzburg at Anfield, at the time, we thought great game. We didn't necessarily think it was going to be important in the final reckoning. But actually, you know, they were three
away goals now as well. Could yet be
three away goals.
They, head to head.
They were 3-0 down. Liverpool were cruising. And had Liverpool won that game 3 or 4-0, they'd be through, really, barring a mathematical miracle. But Salzburg score a lot of goals, as we'll talk about in a moment. And Liverpool are going to have to be at their best. They won the competition having squeaked through on match day 6 last year, and I think it's going to be another nervy final group stage match for the Reds this campaign as well.
Always tends to be the way, doesn't it, for Liverpool? I think only 3 times in their history have they qualified with a game to spare, and it's over a decade since they last did that. It always goes the distance where Liverpool are concerned.
And Salzburg thoroughly deserve to have this straight shootout at the end of the group stage. 4-1 winners at Genk. I mean, they're just so free scoring. Haaland didn't even start. He scored again. That's 27 in 19 this season. Liverpool are going to be worried. Their celebrations bouncing off each other at full time in Belgium showed their team spirit a little bit.
Yeah, and we all saw that video from Jesse March at half time at Anfield, didn't we? About why are we so scared of them? Well, absolutely, their setup in the build up to that game is to go and attack. And what they will want is a fully fit Erling Haaland, because he's been carrying this knock for some time now. They'll wrap him up in cotton wool, I'm sure, for the next 2 weeks and hope he can start that game. It's going to be a brilliant night, and if it finishes 0-0, I'll be very surprised.
Okay, so match day 6, Napoli host Genk, Liverpool go to Salzburg. The group looks like this: Liverpool 10 points, Napoli 9, Salzburg 7, Genk 1, and despite those points gap, it is as tight as it gets in Group E. It's going to be thrilling on Match Day Live coverage, no doubt, in a couple of weeks' time. Let's turn our attention now to Group H. Our early commentary game was at the Mestalla, Valencia-Chelsea. Both trying to book a place in the knockout stages. Richard Connolly, watch this one.
Rodrigo for Valencia at the other end! Oh, it's a goal!
Valencia defenders in the way. Then it's Kovacic who scores! He picks it up on the edge of the box and fires low past Cillessen. Mateo Kovacic with the instant equaliser for Chelsea. Flicks it back to Conte. Conte spins the ball in. Up goes Zuma with the effort, and it's turned home by Pulisic. And Chelsea have the lead until the flag goes up to deny Chelsea the goal. The referee has given the goal. Pulisic has scored for Chelsea, who now rush towards the American to celebrate. Parejo is saved brilliantly by Kepa Arrizabalaga. A wonderful flying save. The left hand kept it out as it went to his right. And it remains 2-1 to Chelsea. Another moment of drama in Group H. Here come Valencia, trailing 2-1. Vaz whips it, the cross, oh, it's gone in! The cross has gone in from Vaz! It flew into the top corner! He hit it first time, and all Kepa could do was watch, and it flew into the net off the inside of the post!
And it would stay 2-2 at the Mestalla. Draw probably a fair result. Let's hear from the rare Chelsea goalscorer Mateo Kovacic and first manager Frank Lampard.
Well, good point, and we nearly lost it, and we nearly won it. It was end-to-end, which I didn't like. And fortunately this year, I haven't had many times to say that we got away with some big parts of the game. I can think of probably one game earlier in the season in the league. Sometimes we haven't got what we deserve, but maybe we've got some slices of luck. That's not to say we shouldn't have taken more chances ourselves, but we conceded too many. But once you get over the detail and we'll look back at that, the point in itself is a good one, because it's a very tough place to come and it keeps the qualification in our own hands.
We conceded a stupid goal, but yeah, it's football, it's normal, and we need to keep going. There is no easy games, but it's important that it's in our hands. So we need to win at home with our fans, and yeah, I hope we will do it.
So the thoughts of Frank Lampard and Mateo Kovacic, who scored his first ever goal for Chelsea tonight, says he nearly gave up on goal scoring. Chris, thrilling game, you know, and Chelsea are just, you've got to have a ticket, you've got to be watching them. Right,
absolutely. I mean, we heard from Frank Lampard there, he said he didn't like the end of that match. That's kind of surprising, because that's the way his team have played all season long. They are so entertaining. We heard Richard Connolly's commentary there. After that fourth goal with 8 minutes left, there could have been three or four more goals. I mean, stoppage time was unbelievable. Valencia missed two or three golden chances to win the game.
That Rodrigo chance, yeah.
Exactly. He will be thinking about that for quite some time. It was a great game. Two completely fearless sides just going for it, attacking-wise. I'm not sure how far either will go in the competition, but boy, whilst they're in it, they are wonderful to watch.
They'd look vulnerable to knockout football.
I think
so. Conceding so many goals.
Yeah, they're just, no one stays back. You know, even at 2-2, which was an okay result. But I think the fact that both could go through with a win set it up for that type of game. They didn't disappoint. Hey, Valencia have taken 4 points off Chelsea. That is impressive.
Now let's get the thoughts of Lampard here on Tammy Abraham, who went off at half-time, and there was a lot of concern for the medical staff. He did walk off the pitch, but then they said, no more walking, you're on a stretcher now. This is what Frank Lampard said about the stroke, who scored 11 goals this season for Chelsea. It looked quite severe at half-time, a strong bang on the hip, and I think that's why Abraham looked particularly upset. But the word after the game is it might not be as severe as we thought. That's all we know. They would not want to lose him at a vital point in the season, especially before they face Lille at home in a couple of weeks' time. Lille arrive at Stamford Bridge off the back of a 2-0 loss at the hands of Ajax, who were good for the win. Good for the win in France once again, Ajax.
Really good. And Hakim Ziyech was the star man. Opened the scoring after only 2 minutes. Brilliant move. Typical Ziyech finish with his left foot beyond the Lille goalkeeper. He then teed up the second for Quincy Promise. Donny van der Beek hit the post. Ziyech had another goal disallowed. They were comfortable winners in truth, Rob. But you know, it's fascinating when you look through that team. I think so many people said Ajax is run to the semi-final. It will never happen again. They're going to lose half their team. Well, they did lose some big players. But with that money, they brought in Quincy Promise, who scored again and was excellent. And, hey, they kept Ziyech and Tadic and van der Beek. And they are still just as entertaining. This section, we mentioned Valencia and Chelsea just going for it, while Ajax only know one way to play as well. Far too good for Lille. and they're in pole position, aren't they, now to go through, although they haven't quite mathematically achieved qualification to the last 16.
They won 3-0 at Valencia on match day 2. They host them next, and Chelsea face Lille. So the group looks like this: Ajax 10 points, Valencia 8, Chelsea 8. So Valencia head to head between the two clubs, and Lille on 1 point. Okay, before we analyse the night's other four matches, here's a selection problem for you.
It's time to vote for your UEFA.com Fans Team of the Year for 2019. The 50-man shortlist has been announced, but the final 11 is up to you. There's 5 goalkeepers, 15 defenders, 15 midfielders and 15 forwards to choose from, including UEFA Champions League stars like Virgil van Dijk, Frenkie de Jong and Eden Hazard. So make sure you pick your 11 now. Visit UEFA.com. And you'll be in with a chance of winning great prizes, including 2 VIP tickets to a Champions League quarter-final match of your choice.
OK, let's move on to Group F now. Barcelona took on Borussia Dortmund in another game where both clubs were hoping to seal their place in the next round. Commentary from Mark Scott.
To the area, slips it through, Suarez scores, and this one will count. Beautiful finish from Luis Suarez as Barcelona click through the gears and take the lead against Dortmund. Messi wriggles it through, Suarez back to Lionel Messi, who scores. It's another supremely well-worked goal between Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez, and this time Suarez tees up Messi. Messi surging through the middle and is released, Antoine Griezmann, it's 3, and that will do it for Barcelona, who are going to win the game and win the group. Jadon Sancho, edge of the area, goes for goal and scores a cracker for Borussia Dortmund, likely to only be a consolation for the Germans, but it was a scorching strike from Sancho into the top corner, beyond the reach of Ter Stegen. Barcelona 3, Dortmund 1.
It was only consolation, but fine consolation from Jadon Sancho. A wonderful goal, but it was Barcelona's night. Mark Scott watched this one for us. And Mark, it looked to me really... I know there were spells in the second half where Dortmund pressed, but it looked relatively comfortable for Barca.
Yeah, it was, Rob. After an early flurry from Dortmund when they had a good opportunity that Nico Schulz couldn't convert, Barcelona settled. They seemed to improve when Antoine Griezmann was brought on as a substitute for the former Dortmund player Ousmane Dembele, who was forced off through injury. And then they really did seem to ease into it and click into gear. And the night was dominated, quite fittingly, by Lionel Messi in the end. His 700th game for Barcelona. He scored one goal and set up 2 others as well. Also hit the crossbar with a really good free kick from an impossible angle late on as well. And the stats now then, it's a numbers game, isn't it, at this stage of the UEFA Champions League as we go into the final match then. I know you've been getting your abacus out to work out things for the closing round of games, but Messi's figures after tonight, 700 games for Barcelona, just the 613 goals now and 236 assists. Pretty staggering, but just another day at the office for him. Barcelona easing their way through as group winners, but problems for Borussia Dortmund. We knew that their coach Lucien Favre was under a bit of pressure, and although they were playing away at Barcelona, that is now 10 goals they've conceded in their last 3 games in all competitions. 2 of them were preventable. Mats Hummels with a really poor pass out that was punished quite ruthlessly by Barcelona. And I've seen Patrick Aubameyang, the former Borussia Dortmund player, saying that once again their performance was okay, but the ambitions in Dortmund are bigger than that, and you wonder what repercussions that could have for Favre.
Very interesting, and arguably, by the sounds of things, they scored the goal of the night from Jadon Sancho, who then also hit the bar. Is that right?
Absolutely spot on there, Chris. And the questions already are starting to surface about why they didn't start Jadon Sancho. Because a bit like that alteration where Griezmann came on for Dembele, Sancho's introduction at the interval really did help them in an attacking sense. Really, really massively. And he scored a brilliant goal and was very close to getting another fantastic second. Only a really good stop from Ter Stegen tipping his effort onto the crossbar prevented him. So again, more questions and more questioning perhaps of the decisions made by the head coach.
Mark, thank you very much. Let's look at the other game in the group. Slavia Praha 1-3, where Inter are forming one of the best partnerships, strike partnerships in Europe, Chris.
They are. Romelu Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez. There is a great image which now might be wiped from the annals of history, because Lukaku scored what was the fourth goal for Inter. It was disallowed, but they both ran off holding each other's hands towards the travelling support. There's a lot of love there, off the pitch and on the pitch, that they seem to have developed a wonderful partnership very, very quickly. Inter took the lead through Martinez, his fourth goal in five Champions League games. They then had a goal disallowed when Lukaku scored, but it was disallowed because they came back to a Slavia Praha penalty, which meant that it was 1-1. So instead of Inter being 2-0 up, it was 1-1 in the blink of an eye. But then Lukaku rounded the goalkeeper and thumped home for 2-1. And then Lautaro Martinez scored a brilliant third, left outside of the left boot cross from Lukaku, which isn't necessarily something that you would think of him doing. Martinez on the volley thumped it beyond Andre Kolar. Great goal. As I said, they had a fourth disallowed. And the celebrations from Antonio Conte, Rob, about the third goal on the touchline, I think told the story here. It was proper full-on Conte, marching down the touchline, celebrating with all of his coaching staff. Massive win for Inter because it puts him above Borussia Dortmund in Group F with just one match to play. And for Conte, personally, and for Inter as a club, to make it through to the last 16 would be big news.
OK, so here's how that group looks now. Barcelona 11, Inter 7, Dortmund 7, Inter ahead of them on head-to-head, and Slavia Praha out of Europe on 2 points. It means that Dortmund, a home to Slavia Praha, will have to look at what Inter are doing at home to Barcelona, who have won the group. And Barcelona, you imagine, like last season, may well rotate. To Group G now, Zenit beat Lyon 2-0 in the early kickoff. The real drama coming in Germany. Benfica had to win at Leipzig to stay in the Champions League. They were 2-0 up into the 90th minute, and it fell apart, Chris. Incredible.
It did fall apart. First of all, a penalty from Emil Forsberg, which you thought was a consolation. That was in the 90th minute. But then shortly after that penalty, we saw the board for 9 added minutes. And you thought, well, hang on, this is still here for Leipzig. And eventually they pushed and pushed, and they got the equaliser, Robbie, in extraordinary circumstances.
So Leipzig join Barcelona into the round of 16. The Julian Nagelsmann effect well and truly working on match day 6. Lyon host Leipzig, and Benfica take on Zenit. So still stuff to play for there. Leipzig 10 points. Zenit and Lyon both on 7. Benfica on 4. Napoli with the draw at Liverpool tonight is one of the main stories in the Champions League. Let's hear from their head coach, Carlo Ancelotti.
Yes, we didn't give them possibility to use their speed, their intensity. We were deep for this reason. We defended well with two line of four players and really concentrated, really focused. Of course, we wanted to play more offensively, but was not easy. We were in the second half.
But they largely weathered the storm, Napoli, to claim the draw at Liverpool, which sends that entire group to match day 6. Chris Parrott, to sign off for tonight's show, is there a man of the night for you, a performer of the night in the Champions League? Plenty to choose from.
Yeah, it's pretty tough given what we've seen. I think I'm going to go for Lautaro Martinez, who is really becoming a serious Champions League star this season. He's still only 22. His partnership with Romelu Lukaku is growing game by game. And if they make it through, nobody, no defence in this competition will want to face him in the knockout stages.
You can see why Antonio Conte was happy to let Icardi go to Paris Saint-Germain. Okay, that's all we have time for tonight on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. A reminder of the drama. Liverpool's group goes to Match Day 6 after a 1-1 draw with Napoli. Dejan Lovren with a header to save it. Salzburg, though, with a great chance to qualify when they face Liverpool after their 4-1 win at Genk. Barcelona win their section after a 3-1 win against Dortmund. Inter level on points with Dortmund now after their 3-1 win at Slavia Praha. Group G, Leipzig through after their dramatic draw against Benfica, and Valencia, Chelsea, Ajax all hoping to reach the round of 16-2 on match day 6. We will be back for the conclusion of the group stage on Tuesday the 10th and Wednesday the 11th of December on both nights. But for now, from myself, Rob Daly, and all of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
Ball played forward here for Napoli, for Dries Mertens. Oh, he's caught it sweetly, and he's scored for Napoli. Oh, perfectly placed header from Dejan Lovren, and Liverpool are level. They make the set-piece pay, and it's the Croatian centre-back that scored it. And the equation changes again at Anfield. It's Liverpool 1, Napoli 1.
Messi surging through the middle, and is released Antoine Griezmann. It's 3, and that will do it for Barcelona, who are going to win the game and win the group.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.